colors, man. Wow. I can feel my fingers, man. You see that, man?
I was probably on Molly the day you saw me and little Brits getting piffed, grinning and shit. Cheesing like dip to come with your chips. This bitch I was with wanted a clip, blunted as shit. Just spent 106 on sniff straight from the dick. And this a fifth trip. The whole strip know what I came to get. It's just how much and who got it. Doms and Knicks, GP20s with blue caps. Ready rock, bottles of crack. 2 for $5, 5 for $20. Buy 4, change back. She bought a bundle for her uncle that nods, scratches and mumbles at her. She treated me good for some good weed, just happy, running with rappers. After she copped back to the spot, I did me, she did her, yes sir. And then she did me. Swallowed my gunk, gave me money for the blunt, stood out front, looking like the first of the month. Yet I came, but I kept mom's chain, she wasn't beat. Ran through another Magnum family pack, then hit the streets, tricking without a treat. It's like a chicken without a beat. You could eat, it don't make a difference, cause all you want is to meet. I'm a man whore, situation pimp.
Some girls going from former I wanters to becoming a bumming, to that never respectable, hella receptacle for something. Sleazy little Molly, probably easier than Harley Harvey. Baker ovens, cake is coming out, you gotta take a nuttin'. Hey, it's nothing, as long as she get to take a puffin'. As a chaser cousin, Molly ain't for fussin', but bustin', really game sloppy, y'all. See, that dame is Molly Moore, swivin' as she juice cools when she gettin' abused, dude. Maybe Molly planning for something like Molly Shannon. Hear her talking, she a superstar. Be for real, that stupid broad just a skis bunny. Forever that ass too dusted, but best believe honey is ready for bad for bussing. Harley Molly ring wore on some pretty in pink. Are you kidding me? Think another image like Molly chin. Ball's a good combination. Now we talking a winner, and that's off in the center of wildhood conversation.
Molly took the leathery tail and folded overcoat. Loves me not, and told me both emotions. Dose that came to do-si-do. I was in a stomach at a briar patch, mystified, been firing on all cylinders. Hiring of the miserables. Hazy shit, a winter ray is high on poison vegetables. Molly called it pest control. She said it made me less alone. That's how dementia go. It's every message pretzeled up. It's telephone. It's special pets to regulate the end result. Anyway, Molly, just keep the cabbage in the envelope. And I can show you God in every smoking Brooklyn vestibule. Took me to the catacombs, fed me to the seance. Lined the dining tables with butcher paper and crayons. On some function with a kid, it's all gumption and hullabaloo. Lunch and dinner, giddy up into the oven with you. That's Molly fucking with you. That's how her tables turn. She front that hubba hubba, she just wanna make you squirm.
Freaking the morning, just like me. I need it. Freaking. just like how they go, just like in the beat, just like how they go, just like how they go.
Hello, hello. This is Nectar Island. Oops.
Whoa, that's good. That's cool.
Unintentional sound effects. For show of 2024. Happy New Year, although I'm not sure if we're past the cutoff for wishing people Happy New Year. So, yeah. We could debate that. So welcoming my co-host Rafa to the show. How's it going?
Hey man, Happy New Year! Yep. It's the first time of the year I see you, so it's,
yeah, it counts, yeah.
But there's a cutoff. I know. that's debatable. I know.
And then Happy New Year to our spiritual father Lionel Chauat, somewhere in Lisbon. And yeah, Happy New Year to Simon and Steve from Harl from Hillhead to Harlesden.
You can call it H2H. You can call it H2H.
Yeah.
New Year's resolution. Get the pronunciation right.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So yeah, I guess you could be guests on our show as well this time. how's it going? Well, what's happening?
What's happening? Do you know what? It's been a really a slow start to the year. I've had a real kind of fug at the start of this year. I've not felt like I've come. Normally, I come into the new year feeling really punchy, ready to go. I've really struggled.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
Not been. I don't know. It's not normal for me. I don't know what it is, but I've been straw polling to a number of people. You know, people are talking about it. I think it's a general kind of a feel you're getting from people. They're just not up for it.
Have you been to Scotland or?
I went to Scotland.
Well, are you suggesting that has something to do with it?
No, I'm suggesting that maybe yeah, because Scotland is not really kind of like a vacation, right? It's coming back home basically.
Yeah, but you know, it was I caught up with some really good friends.
But saw my family. It was cold there, right?
But it was super cold. But yeah. It was extremes. So there were days when, I mean, I'm not joking, my parents' house is exposed. It's up on a hill. Uh-huh. And the wind was coming from a direction it doesn't normally come from, but it was blowing like 50, 60 miles an hour. I mean, it was oppressive, and it was all day and all night. And then it would just stop. Right. And then it would be completely clear. And then it'd be freezing cold, but it'd be beautiful, clear sunshine. Mm-hmm. And then the wind would come again. You know, it was just a day in, day out of that kind of extreme. But it was beautiful. It was good to see the family, good to see my sisters, good to see my mum and dad, and kind of just hang out and, you know, and just potter around really. And for my kids to experience proper countryside, you know, they live and grow up in the city. You know, for us, my sister lives on a farm over the back of where my parents live. Mm-hmm. And we walked, you know, in the moonlight, no torches, in the moonlight, over the fields, over the fences, through the fields in our welly boots to my sister's for a cup of tea and back.
Oh, just, cool.
You know, I know it sounds probably, if they're listening to this, they're probably thinking it's just a walk through the fields, but that's a big thing for us.
Enough for you.
No, it's awesome. So I really enjoyed doing those things.
Oh, cool.
So Rafa, yours must have been polar opposite.
It's kind of. I think we're living kind of like an age of extremes, really, because a week ago I was in Rio. And it was 60 degrees, like the sensation, and 42.
What are we talking about?
The 60 degrees Celsius. Fuck. Yeah. That's the sensation. Okay. Yeah, it was 43 with the 60 sensation. Right. So it's kind of like, wow. Yeah, it was really hot. Yeah, but it was good. Yeah, it was. You know, the beach was full, and it was beautiful, man. Like Rio, I haven't been for a long time. I think last time was like 8 years ago.
Do you have a spot on the beach? Because you know they have the little clubs on the beach, where they're serving the caipirinhas. Do you have one you go to?
Yeah, we do. We usually stay between the post 9 and 10 from Ipanema. Yeah, so Ipanema has kind of like this little spot between 9 and 10, and that's kind of like where like the favorite spot basically. Okay. Because
I will never go if I go to Rio again. I will never go to any spot but that spot.
No, yeah.
Don't take a spot.
Yeah. I'll give you all the tips because every spot has a different vibe to it.
Okay.
So there's kind of like the spot with like the ravers are there in this spot where kind of like, no, they're not footballers and blah, blah, blah. And then that's kind of like, you know.
So you're in the filmmakers, intellectual.
Yeah, I think so. People open a book in this spot. Yeah. Cool. But it was good. Yeah, it was good. But it was hot. And then like kind of like I came here, it was like -3 or something. So it was kind of like a 40 degrees separation between one side and the other. And I'm still jet lagged and still kind of like getting used to it. But that was good. Yeah.
So Brazil, any sort of cultural highlights?
In Brazil, no, just a lot of alcohol and churrasco and barbecue and red meat and and swimming pools and beaches and.
And you come back for a colonic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. True. But yeah. But that's it's all good. Well, went too fast. You know, like when I think when back home, I don't know. I was there for a month, and it just flew by. I don't know. It just doesn't feel that long since I have been here, and yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Well, let's have a musical interlude playing Mosquito. Oh, actually, the first two songs we played were Molly by Tame One and then Freak by Liv East, which was a request by our spiritual guru, Lionel Shawat Alessa. And yeah, now playing Mosquito by Jazz Boys, who are playing at the 100 Club in February. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back to Nectar Island. That was a new track by Fortet called, I've lost it. Oh, it's called Loved. So any sort of film cultural highlights that are coming up that you've seen? So
that's the thing. Like, I just remembered that the BAFTA nominees went out today. So there's a topical aspect to it. We have like, and now I'm a voter, so I can vote. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. I can give you my...
The Academy?
I'm a member of the British Academy.
Shh, nobody needs you. You can drop the British. Member of the Academy.
And one member, one vote?
One member, one vote, yeah. Yeah, I think like all the members from Connect to the BAFTA members, to the BAFTA crew, they're like different, you know, different layers of members, but I'm the bottle, but I can vote.
Who nominates?
So I'm here with like the list. The best film was Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. From these ones, I just haven't watched Poor Things yet from Yorgos Lanthimos. But the other ones, they're good. I think like Oppenheimer won the Golden Globe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But maybe I don't know. My vote would be to the Killers of the Flower Moon, I think. But the Holdover is pretty good.
I definitely want to see The Holdovers because we were just off air talking about Christmas films, and that seems to be like
that's a perfect Christmas film,
future Christmas classic. From what I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, but I love Alexander Payne.
But it's released on the sixth of January, wasn't
it's
it?
Bizarre, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Orthodox Christmas, I don't know.
But it has this vibe. I think that the vibe is more than anything else. Like kind of like the Holdovers has kind of like this. You know, this. It's not a feel good. It's like Alexander Payne come back into form.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's so we have kind of like this dramatic aspects to it, but it's also really inspiring in the end. You know, it's about kind of like, I think, surpassing trauma.
Yeah.
But he does that in a very kind of like, you know, light way, and it has this aspect of like teacher and student. Actually, like the log line is that there are some people that stay in the private school, in boarding school,
and that
kind of like they're left there by their parents at Christmas time, and then they are so they're this teacher that takes care of them, and that's kind of it, the teacher is kind of like a Latin teacher, a very kind of like, you know, professional kind of character, but in the end there's a student that's kind of like a maverick, and they get together, they create a bond. That's really good, a really good film. I think one of the best films that I watched last year in the London Film Festival.
So you sure you're gonna vote for Killers of the Flower Moon? Killers of the Flower Moon. Is this meant to be confidential, your vote?
It doesn't matter. It won't make any difference. Oppenheimer will win. It doesn't make any difference.
I mean, I've only seen Anatomy of a Fall out of that.
You liked it, right?
I liked it very much. So I, by de facto, would vote for it. Any votes from the HTH crew?
Out of them all, I've only seen Oppenheimer.
Okay,
so I've got no. I've got no reference.
Yeah, but I've seen Killers and I've seen Oppenheimer. I think Raph knows my feelings about Killers of the Flower Moon, so that would not get my vote.
Yeah,
I did enjoy Oppenheimer, but it's definitely not. There's a lot wrong with it, so that could be improved.
Yeah.
So I'd probably hold out and watch the other movies first before I was casting a vote.
Let's cast our vote next show.
So it's debatable. Yeah. It's not. There's not a clear win. You know. I think. And also kind of like there's a lot of good documentaries out there as well. And the documentary session, I think, is going to be very, very hard to tell who's going to win. But yeah. That's kind of like the highlights. Now award season over and over again. You had the Emmys, you had the Golden Globe. In the Emmys, Succession won the best drama.
Yeah.
But there are kind of like a lot of love for The Bear as well. But I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen The Bear.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I liked it, but I thought season two was a bit more uneven. Yeah.
I like them both for very different things, and I think the depiction and the pressure and the kind of the craft and the art as well as the science and the business that is making a modern kitchen is just incredible. And I've never worked in that environment, like in that high end environment before, but it felt really authentic.
Did you enjoy Boiling Point?
I did, but I didn't watch the series, only the film. But again, one take,
Is this really one take? Really? They said so. Yeah.
But I mean, Stephen Graham is amazing. I always really liked him as an actor. That kind of kitchen. I love pressure, and I love that.
Those scenes when it's under pressure are great. But I thought like season two, for example, the sort of lauded, I think episode six, the Christmas episode. I thought that one didn't do it for me. Without wanting to spoil anything.
So for me, it made sense. All of the relationships and the oddball relationships that were going on between Cousin and I can't remember what his name is now.
Cousin Richie. By the way, he's the star of season two. Is Cousin Richie?
Yeah. I mean, his story arc.
His story arc is great in season two.
It's interesting. So there's who's the tattooed big guy that is their engineer?
In real life, he's a chef.
He's a chef. Didn't realize
his name.
I just thought that family scene was intense. It was chaotic. It was annoying. It was just what the is going on here. But I just loved the way that you understood everything that was going on in these interpersonal relationships for those entire series. And for me, it kind of just went, I get it.
Yeah, for me, because I like the in season one, I like the fact that it was all kind of just centered around the kitchen and it did one thing really well. Whereas I think season two, I think they tried to. It felt a bit more self-indulgent, but then still, I mean, recommend watching it.
No, I have to watch it.
Do you know what? I got sick of the fucking sky shots of Chicago.
Yeah,
give me a break. I really enjoyed it, and then there's like, oh god, here we go, and a drone shot.
I was gonna say general rule: they gotta quit with the drone shot. Too much.
No, but it's just because it's just a cheap hack to have like spectacular
only drone shots now for me that are acceptable. I think I've sent you a couple on Instagram where they're doing action sports and they've got a drone following. Like I watch lots of ski porn in the winter. I love skiing, and they've got these
ski porn
like skiing, like not strange not people in chalets actually doing things. Actually, people skiing down like incredible mountains, but they have these sports drones that follow them skiing down cliff faces, like at the height. So you're with that person on that journey. It's once we put the music on, I'll show you some.
But you know what? There's a recurring theme here, because like last show you talk about like giant waves and all the ski porn. So you like the kind of stuff like the extreme radical sports and in the slow motion and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wish it was me.
Are you? You should get a drone and go to Ladbroke Grove.
Yeah, I've got a drone to Bay 66 to see this old man drop in and skate just about at the lip of the bowl.
Dude, I gotta say, I saw the clip. You were dope.
Yeah, I did.
Can we share it on Facebook?
What clip? Yeah. Come on, I'm gonna send the link together with the Necked Ireland link. Watch the clip here.
You can have a look.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. Rafa, what's the official BAFTA take on drones?
Official one
of this BAFTA member.
It's just overused. I think it was good once upon a time, but now kind of like lost all the effect. Every shot you have, every lens you choose, you need to have a motive for it. And drone shots are just like a cheap way to get like,
I was just about to say, cheap shots. I mean, it really is. It's just cheap, like a little bit of plastic in the air with a really HD camera, super widescreen. Oh my God, that's so smooth.
Be careful, both of you. You don't want the union of drone operators coming after you. I'm sure there's one out there. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Especially as a BAFTA member.
This is like, it's just used too much. It's just like zooms, once upon a time, like there's kind of like this rule of thumb that I disagree right now, but it was kind of like out of fashion to use zooms in a scene, because that's kind of like unprofessional kind of thing. But now Tarantino uses it. Like yeah. there are some people that use that in the right time, the right moment.
What,
that
mean
it works.
Actual close-ups or
no, zooming lenses. Yeah. Zoom happening on the scene, kind of
like the famous Spielberg one in Jaws.
Yeah. That's really good. But then after that was overused a point where people are like, okay, I don't want to see that anymore. I think drones is the same thing. Yeah. You know, and you can buy that in stock footage anyway. And drones kind of like it always feels like someone bought some footage from somewhere.
Some scrote from somewhere. It's got themselves like...
And the true crimes documentaries, that doesn't help at all, because they always kind of like, you know, there's kind of like this generic footage that goes into kind of like, you know, the when people are telling the story, also he entered the room and blah, 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 and then you see the same shot over and over again. Yeah. It's just cheap. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing.
Drone-free zone.
Definitely. Okay, cool. Let's go to another musical interlude. The song Gift Horses by Idol, also another recommendation by Lionel Shawat.
Watch my steep, go.
Hello, welcome back to Nectar Island. That was I Love You More by Renee and Angela. So yeah, back with Rafa here. So yeah, we were talking off mic 2024 and that looking forward to cultural
the
highlights.
Things to come.
Yeah, anything on the horizon?
Actually, like, I don't know, in January, we kind of like, we'll have a lot of things happening. We have like the BFI... I don't know how it's called. Showcase? It's not showcase. Like films, season of films. A season.
Oh, yeah.
BFI season of films of Werner Herzog.
Cool.
And there's a new documentary about Herzog called Werner Herzog, Revolutionary Dreamer.
Oh, wow.
Like that.
No, I definitely want to see that.
I'm going to go watch it tomorrow in the BFI South Bank. And that's kind of like, it's good because they are releasing all the filmography in 4K with like Bearman and Little Deer Needs to Fly and all this. Like even Dwarfs Start Small and all the things, even like the B-sides of it.
What about like Fitzcarraldo and all that?
Fitzcarraldo as well, Aguirre, The Wrath of God.
So all the stuff,
All this stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. And this guy is amazing. I think like, I'm looking forward to watching the documentary and being inspired by it because this is the guy that, you know, you make no excuses, just go there and go and make the film. No excuses, you know. And I think that's it's a call to arms every time I see a film of him.
Is he releasing something new, or is it just a film about him?
No, this is a film about him. Yeah. He's releasing. I think he's about to release a new one, a new documentary, but not in this season. It's not in the BFI season. But this is it's interesting because I have been to Berlin last year, and I seen some interviews that are kind of like featured in this movie because they had kind of like this Werner Herzog exhibition in the Cinematheque in Berlin.
Oh, cool.
And there are kind of like interviews about that with like Nicole Kidman and all the guys that worked with him talking about how he is on set and how intense he is.
Crazy.
And, how crazy he is. So that's kind of like one thing that I'm looking forward to. Another thing that I was looking forward to, but I have seen, are you live?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought that was okay.
No, Simon is just nerding out on some right. equipment.
I get distracted. No, there's lots of shiny buttons.
No, yeah. That's all right. That's all right.
Prepare
H2H.
But so you were saying it?
No, yeah. The thing that we are talking off mic about the True Detective. So that's one thing that was kind of like I was expecting for a long time because it's Judy Foster coming back to a role where she's a police officer and it's kind of like this mystery crime. It was kind of a bit disappointed really for the first episode because we're talking about that. It's kind of like there's this supernatural element is so evident, and I think like True Detective before in the especially in the first season, because the second and the third was kind of like not good. But the first season was kind of like this guy talking us through a horrendous crime And then we kind of like, you know, we discover with him the supernatural elements of it. And I think like that's more effective than just showing it, showing ghosts and whatever. But yeah, it has to do with like indigenous culture. It has to do with kind of like, you know, the, it's, it was shot in Finland, but they pretend it's Alaska.
Okay.
So it's kind of like there's Alaska police, a small town with indigenous people, and there's a crime.
So how does it work? Like, because the writer's strike has finished, does that mean it's a lot of stuff that was already filmed beforehand that's getting released now, or are they just creating stuff really quick?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that kind of like was in the pipeline, and then they just holded it because there was kind of like the writer's strike and also the actor's strike at the same time. The actors could not promote anything. So if they released, the HBO released, they couldn't do any promotion of it. So they couldn't go to late night shows and or anything or do promotional material. So now they're kind of like everything that was ready before. Now they can promote, they can kind of like get it out of the world again. And now, I don't know, I think like things, hopefully things on 24 is going to be better for the industry as a whole. We just want a normal year, you know, pandemic or no strikes. So, but that's hard.
Somehow doubt it's going to be a normal
That's a
year,
hard thing to ask.
I think it's going to be a fucked up year. But I finally thought of something I'm looking forward to, and that's from 4th of February, the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, that I'm looking forward to as well, man.
We'll have to do play-by-play analysis.
That's amazing. Pretty good.
But then I guess, yeah, exactly. I guess maybe in the March episode of Nectar Island, we can discuss it.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, let's go for another musical interlude. This is a song that you've added to the playlist.
It's one of mine.
Aguas de Marzo.
No. I was in Mars.
So can you, what's...
Yeah, because, you know, this is kind of like this a song, a very, very, you know, everyone knows the song in Brazil. It's Tom Jobim and Elis Regina. They're playing kind of like it's a bossa nova song.
Oh, so you were listening to this in Ipanema?
I was right beside kind of like the house of Tom Jobim, and there are a lot of references to Tom Jobim in Ipanema. I was actually in a bar where he famously wrote the Girl of Ipanema. So he was watching the girl in that bar, and then he wrote the song. Yeah. So that's to remind of sunnier days and warmer days.
Aguas de Marzo means waters of
March.
March, okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay, let's play.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É o resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho. É um caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol. É a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol.
Madeira,
canga, candeia,
é uma Tita Pereira,
é madeira de vento,
da ribanceira,
é um mistério profundo,
é o queira ou não queira,
é o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira, é a viga, é o vão, festa da comieira,
é a chuva chovendo, é conversa ribeira, das águas de março, é o fim da canseira,
é o pé, é o chão,
é a mastradeira,
passarinho na mão,
pedra de atiradeira.
É uma ave no céu,
é uma ave no chão,
é um regato, é uma fonte,
é um pedaço de pão,
é o fundo do poço, é o fim do caminho, no rosto desgosto, é um corpo sozinho, é um estrepe,
é um prego,
é uma ponta,
é um ponto,
é um pingão, é uma conta,
é um conto,
é um peixe, é um gesto,
é uma prata brilhando,
é a luz da manhã,
é o tijolo chegando,
é a lenha, na estrada.
É o projeto da casa, é o corpo na cama, é o carro guisado, é a lama, é a lama.
É um passo,
é uma ponte,
é um sapo,
é uma rã,
é um resto
de mato,
na luz
da manhã.
São as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração.
Thank you.
cobra, é um pau.
É João.
É José.
É um espinho.
Na mão.
É um corte.
No pé. São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração.
É pau.
É pedra.
É o fim
do caminho.
É um resto
de toco.
É um pouco.
Sozinho. É um passo, é uma ponte.
É um sapo, é uma rã.
É um belo horizonte.
É uma febre terçã.
São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração. Pau.
Pedra.
Oco,
oco, vinho,
agro,
hidro,
ida,
ol,
oite,
corte,
aço,
sol.
São as águas de março fechando o verão. É a promessa de vida no teu coração.
Ba,
ba, da, ba, ba, de, ba, de, za, 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 de, za, a, za, na, nha, nha, andande, de, ba, da, de, de.
Quem se atreve a me dizer do que é feito samba? Quem se atreve a me dizer? Quem se atreve a me dizer do que é feito samba? Quem se atreve a me dizer? Não, eu não sambo mais em vão. O meu samba tem cordão. O meu bloco tem sem ter. E ainda assim de quem se atreve a me dizer do que é feito samba? Quem se atreve a me dizer? Quem se atreve a me dizer do que é feito samba? Quem se atreve a me dizer? Quem me ensinou a te dizer? Vem que passo teu sofrer.
Hello. This isn't Washington D.C. radio station. Hopefully, it's hopefully it's better. What did we listen to now at the end of our Bossa Nova corner? What song was?
This is Los Hermanos Samba Dois. It's like you know, it's a modern kind of like bossa. It's not. It's kind of like a mixture between bossa nova and rock, pop rock from Brazil. It was very successful in the early 2000s, but now the band is no more. And but they're trying to revive the swing, I think. This is samba and bossa nova swing, and they're also carioca, so it's two songs for Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, is bossa exclusively Rio?
Yeah, bossa was born in Rio. Yeah. So they're kind of like it's all kind of like it was born in the actually not in Rio, but it was in Rio, but it was just like a small part of Rio. So it's a very limited, the south zone of Rio is like the place of bossa nova was born. Yeah. Then the rest of it's like more pagode or samba, or we call it samba raiz. It's like the roots, samba roots. It's like more, the bossa is more intellectual. It's more boo, 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 boo. It's good.
Nice. That's a crash course on bossa. And from bossa to... Exactly. And then from bossa to one of your upcoming highlights of 2024, maybe. So Smashing Pumpkins.
I think so too. I am a big Pumpkins fan. I don't know. I think like in my, teenage years, Siamese Dream and Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, and even kind of like Adore or Machina. I still follow the guys. Yes, Zwan. The poets of Zwan. Okay. Yeah, they're out of I went back home, and there's one record called Zeitgeist that is not released on digital. It's not anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to find the Zwan stuff on digital.
Zwan stuff is all off grid. You can't find it on YouTube, but you cannot find it.
I gotta be honest, I'm not looking for it.
Yeah. Come on, it's the happy Smashing Pumpkins.
Oxymoron.
but I know all this stuff. Still, it's good. And I'm gonna watch the guys in June on the at the Ochu.
So let's see if they found a second guitarist by then.
Yeah, that's true.
So on that note, we'll signing off for the month with Cherub Rock by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Be back soon.
See you next month, which is soon. Actually,
it is soon.